Your rock is 5 million years old. One half-life has gone by. Now, if we have 25 parent atoms and 75 daughter atoms, so now we've split that 50 in half again, another half-life has gone by. So if we find that ratio of 25 parent to 75 daughter, then we have gone through two half-lives. If each half-life is 5 million years, now our rock is 10 million years old. And that's how we apply radioactive decay to dating of different rocks. Now, one of the problems is that different decay systems have different half-lives. So, for example, everybody tends to say, oh, we'll use carbon-14 to date that. Use carbon-14 to date everything. Carbon-14's half-life is only about 5,700 years. So if you're working with a rock that is millions of years old, there's going to be no carbon-14 left. And so carbon-14 is not very useful for much older materials. Now, a couple things that we have to keep in mind is when we think about radioactive decay, we assume that the rock, when it begins its life, when those isotopes begin decaying, so for example, when an igneous rock first crystallizes, there are no daughter isotopes present. And we assume that no parent or daughter isotopes can escape or can come in as the rock is going through this decay process. It's not always clear that that's always the case, but generally it does hold. Now, a few little side issues. We usually use absolute age dating on igneous rocks. They're the ones that tend to have the most stable conditions for radioactive decay. The other problem is, if you take your igneous rock and you break it down now to form a sedimentary rock, and you date a grain inside a sedimentary rock that came from that igneous rock, you're still dating the igneous rock, not the sedimentary rock. You're figuring out the maximum possible age of that sedimentary rock, but you're not actually dating the formation of that sedimentary rock itself. And of course, if you metamorphose a rock, what do you think happens to that decay? Usually, you completely restart the clock. So with metamorphic rocks, if you apply an absolute age dating technique to a metamorphic rock, it tells you when the rock was metamorphosed, but it tells you nothing about the history of that rock before it was metamorphosed. So how can we put these things together? If we have an outcrop, for example, that includes sedimentary rocks, igneous rocks, and fossils, we can put all these things together now. All of our relative age rules, superposition, original horizontality, cross-cutting relationships, we can put all of those together to figure out the relative order of what happened first. And then if we can get absolute age dates from igneous rocks within that outcrop, now we can start to actually apply numbers. So let's do one quick mental example of this. Let's say we have an outcrop. It's a really nice set of sedimentary rocks. And about two-thirds of the way up, there's a basalt lava flow. And then there's more sedimentary rock on top of that. And the whole thing is cross-cut by another igneous intrusion, by a dike. We would say, based on relative age dating, that our oldest material is on the bottom, youngest material is on the top, and that the dike that cross-cuts the outcrop is the youngest event, because it cross-cuts the rocks that are already there. Now, if we were able to get an age on the basalt lava flow that's two-thirds of the way up the outcrop, and let's say that that was a 5-million-year-old basalt flow, and above it, there's some sedimentary rocks, and the whole thing is cut by this dike, and the dike is 2 million years old. That tells us that that little package of sedimentary rocks that's sitting on top of the lava flow and is cut by the dike had to have been deposited between 5 million years ago and 3 million years ago. And that's how we mix these different techniques together to start to untangle the story even more than we were doing when we just talked about all of our different rock-forming processes. So when we think about all these different processes that are going on, it's hard to think about them in terms of speed, but a lot of these processes we've talked about are very slow. And so we have to fit in all these events into the history of our planet. But a lot of events have happened that have erased part of the record or altered part of the record. And by using these relative and absolute age dating concepts, we can start to untangle the story just a little bit more.
This ends Lecture 5.